time passed by. And this little baby Jesus, the one who was born to die, the one who's the promise of the ages, well, this little baby Jesus grew in wisdom and stature before God and man. In short order, he was in the temple courts in Jerusalem debating with the religious leaders about the things of the Word of God. Sometime after that, Jesus, now a fully grown man, appeared in the wilderness and was baptized by a prophet named John the Baptist. And as he was coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove lighting onto his shoulders. And then right on the heels of that, he is cast out into the vast wilderness places where for 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by Satan himself. And at every turn, Jesus bested the evil one and walked out of that wilderness sinless, victorious. Jesus began his mission, a mission to bring redemption and restoration to those who would trust in him with faith. On a certain day, Jesus made his way into the region of Samaria. He came to an ancient well, and being that it was the heat of the day and Jesus was tired, he sat down on that well. And as he's sitting there resting, lo and behold, a woman comes from the village. She's by herself, and that's intentional, for she has quite the questionable character. And she's headed out to the well in the heat of the day, believing that no one else would be there. She wouldn't have to face anyone, because no one would go at that point in the day. But sure enough, she arrives at the well, and there is Jesus. And she's startled, I'm sure, looking at him with wonderment, wondering who he is, why he's there. And Jesus politely, kindly, and with some measure of grace says to her, "May I have a drink?" And this, no doubt, was astonishing to her because she readily heard in his accent, he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan. Everyone knows that Jews do not talk to Samaritans. And moreover, he's a rabbi. And in those days, rabbis would never talk to a woman. But here's Jesus. Here's Jesus, seemingly unconcerned that she wants to hide. After all, Jesus has come in part to be with those who otherwise wish to hide. "May I have a drink?" he asks. They banter back and forth about the fact that he is Jewish and she's Samaritan. And finally, Jesus says to her these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And Jesus went on to say, "Everyone who drinks of this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And this woman, with her curiosity heightened, is thinking she wants some of that. But Jesus, concerned that she might believe he still is merely talking about well water, he presses in to her soul. "Go fetch your husband," he says to her. This is very clever on his part, for he knows sovereignly, as the wonderful counselor and mighty God, the promised king of the ages, He knows sovereignly that her life is filled with no end of just broken relationships, one after the other. And certainly by asking for her to go fetch her husband, it creates some angst within her. She responds, she does respond. She says, I don't have a husband. But throughout the ages, we've come to recognize that her tone may well imply, I don't have a husband, but therefore, I maybe am available to you. After all, isn't that what men want from her? At least that's her survival story. But of course, Jesus wants things very differently. He's not one who, like so many, are objectifying this villager. He doesn't want that from her. What he wants is to gift her something. Many may objectify her, but what he wants to do is to redeem her. Sometime later, he would say, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And this Samaritan woman in this backwoods village is one of the many that Jesus had in mind. And so, therefore, he pressed in still more deeply into her soul and revealed to her that he was in fact aware of this whole string of broken relationships and all the pain that it implies. He wasn't seeking to shame her as he highlighted it and exposed it. No, Jesus doesn't want to shame anyone. What he sought to do was to have her know she is seen, she is known, and she is loved. And he is there with those things in mind for her well-being, for her soul. And somehow in the midst of him pressing in to the sordid story of her life, a spiritual light went on from which she never recovered. She knows he's meddling with her soul. And so she chooses to go there. Perhaps she feels safe enough. And so she throws out her own spiritual and theological curiosities and talks with Jesus. They banter back and forth about where one could worship and how one worships. And do you know, in the end, it seems evident that what this woman was really ultimately reaching for is this one question: where can I find God? And then she, in so many ways, offered her own answer. You know, the Messiah, when he comes, well, he will answer all the riddles that we have. He'll help us understand all the things. And at that moment, Jesus, with penetrating clarity, says to her, I who am speaking to you am he. And I think for just a moment, silence. They lock eyes. She senses his love, knows there's something about him most remarkable, most unusual. It's as if God is peering right into her own being. And according to the ancient history, she sets down her water jar. And I imagine her backing away just a bit from Jesus, looking at him still, and then turning and running into the village, shouting to everyone, he told me everything there is to know about me. Could it be that this is the Messiah? It's not possible, is it? Come and see, come and see, come and see. And do you know, the villagers listened to this woman. And sure enough, according to the history, they came to see. and to discover for themselves what this Jesus had to say and who this Jesus might really be. Come and see. Come and see. And friend, on this Christmas Eve, that is the invitation from me to you. Come and see. Come and see the one who takes all of us broken people and knows how to make us become whole. Come and see the one who lifts up the masks and looks in with deep, eternal love. Come and see the one who moves past material and temporal things and gives us spiritual and eternal rewards. Come and see the one who provides all the answers to the yearning, weary soul. Come and see the one who forgives you your sin and breathes life into your soul. Come and see the one who is the reason for this season and who is the fulfillment of the eternal promises that hope is coming. Jesus is the living water. Water that we drink in so as to have our souls revived and have hope come in. Jesus is the light of the world. A light that shines into the darkest recesses of your hearts and mine. A light that exposes all the stuff. But it doesn't just stop there. It then points the way, leads the way toward forgiveness and hope and security and purpose, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the one of whom the Christmas angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save many from their sins." Come and see the one who can save you from your sins. Friend, tonight, is there anything at all that would keep you from admitting that you need a Savior, that you are a sinner, broken and messy, with a sordid soul, and you need a Savior? The Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You and you and you and me, all of us have a sin story. Is there anything tonight that would keep you from acknowledging that we have a sin story and that we need a Savior? Is there anything that would keep you from believing that Jesus is God's provision for your salvation? The promised King from the ancient days, the promise of the ages, the one born to live a sinless life, a righteous life, who would then die on a cross for you and for me to pay for our forgiveness from God the Father, the one who would rise from the dead so that we could rise to new life. Is there anything that would keep you from believing that Jesus is God's provision for you? The Bible tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Is there anything that would keep you from believing that Jesus is God's provision for your salvation? Is there anything, friend, that would keep you tonight from confessing that Jesus is your Savior? Anything that would keep you from calling on him and asking him to be your Savior and to be your Lord? Confessing your allegiance to the one who loves you so much that he laid down his life so that you could live forever with forgiveness and hope. The Bible tells us that everyone who confesses that Jesus is Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead shall be saved. The Bible tells us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that everyone who confesses the name of Jesus shall never be put to shame. Is there anything that would keep you right now from confessing that Jesus is your Savior and Lord? Call on him right now and just tell him, I need a Savior and I know you are the one. Anything that would keep you tonight from admitting that you need a Savior, believing that Jesus is God's provision and calling on him to be that for you. Dear friend, you have been here tonight by the wisdom and love of a holy God that you could come and see Jesus so that you could call on him and let him touch your life and change it forever for his glory and your good. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for this Jesus, born to die, die for sinners like me, pay for sin and the forgiveness of it, rise from the dead to demonstrate his authority and power over sin and death and the devil, and to make it possible for us to have life eternal. Oh, God of heaven, we praise you for this Jesus, the promised King of the ages, Emmanuel. Tonight we have come to see him, and many of us tonight wish to call upon him because we believe that he is your provision for our soul's salvation. We acknowledge we need a Savior, and Jesus is the one you have given. So, God of heaven, we ask right now, we declare right now, he is our Savior and Lord. I say, Lord, I believe, and I call on Jesus to be my Savior forever and ever. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.